It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Another blistering hot day. Goodness, you walk outside, you just like want to melt for a minute or two. Whew. Stay inside. Hopefully next week. It looks like next week will be better. Back into the 70s, lower 80s. 946-0435. That's our number if you'd like to join us. I am pumped, man. I am pumped for what I'm going to be able to do a little bit later on tonight. Going to the Roundhouse Rally for the Foreigner's Journey concert. H-E double hockey sticks. Yeah, man. I love cover bands that do star groups. I've been to a number of Journey cover bands. My favorite is Separate Ways. The band, they're called Separate Ways, the band, and they're coming to the Railroaders thing here July 19th, I believe, is the date on that. Tonight, Foreigner's Journey. Wonder who they're going to sing. They're going to sing Foreigner and Journey. That's right up my alley, man. I'm loving it. It's 8 o'clock tonight over at the Roundhouse Rally thing, and I was all ready to pay for it and all, and I was driving around listening to Rich Dennis yesterday. And I got some great news. It's free. You can go there free tonight. We were going anyway to pay whatever. And then Steve Willett was talking about it today. I was like confirming it here. I was like, wait. It was gonna be this amount of money. Yeah, we were prepared to pay this. Well, now it's free. It's like, okay, we're just saving a bunch of money here. So now we're gonna use that money to eat at the food trucks and everything. But I'm pumped, man. We got Foreigner's Journey tonight. I'm looking forward to it. So, my little summer concert series, we got Foreigner's Journey tonight. Separate Ways, the band, is here on July 19th over at the Railroaders thing. And when they were here a couple years ago, they were awesome. Their lead singer has the long, black, flowing hair like Steve Perry did in the 70s and 80s, if you remember Steve Perry's hair back then. And he told a story. The lead singer, he brought his daughter out. He introduced his daughter on the stage for a moment because I think she was graduating high school. You know what her name is? Perry. Her first name is Perry, the lead singer of a Journey cover band. And then July 25th, Journey and Def Leppard are playing at Hershey Park Stadium. We got tickets to that. So I got a bunch of Journey stuff coming up here over the next few weeks. You got any concerts going? Anybody want to talk any music today? You got any concerts you're going to? Or what's the best concert you've been to lately? 946-0435. So anyway, Foreigner's Journey tonight over at the Roundhouse Rally. That's going to be good. If you love the 80s stuff, I can't wait to hear the collection of songs that they break out for both. Journey's obviously my all-time favorite band. Foreigner's probably... Chicago's probably number two. Foreigner is in the top six or seven, maybe. You know, Styx is in there. Foreigner, Def Leppard's in there. REO Speedwagon's in there. That's the kind of collection of my favorite bands. So anyway, 946-0435. I hope, if you caught the end of yesterday's show, I hope everyone understood what it was we were trying to do and maybe enjoyed it. We'll see how it goes here over the next few weeks. But Nathan Forlina, who's interning for me this summer, he's a Penn State Altoona student, and he wants to learn a little bit about what goes on. So he's been with us for the last month and a half or whatever. And yesterday we had him kind of take over as the host for the last – we wanted to do about 20 minutes. It only ended up being about – 12 or 13 minutes, so because we ended up getting some phone calls. But we're going to do that, I think, a few times here over the next couple weeks. We'll give him some opportunities to jump in and kind of run the intros, the outros, read the commercials, you know, kind of set up the topics, all this stuff, you know, that I do just to kind of keep things moving in a clean, kind of crisp pace, set up the discussions, that kind of thing. Nathan did a real good job with it yesterday. I could tell he was a little nervous. I remember the first time I hosted a show back in 2009, I took over for Rob Egan. I'd done some fill-in stuff for Rob at that point. But it's pretty nerve-wracking. My first inclination, and I had to have, I think Dave Bithell was the one who mentioned this to me, said I was talking too fast when I first started doing this back in 09. Yeah, I was just going on real, really fast, and I was just probably talking way too fast. It was just, you know, because you got all this stuff that you want to get out, and you just kind of spew it all. And I think probably for the first few months, I probably spoke way too fast, just trying to get everything out. But, I'm not saying this is rocket science, folks, but to try to carry on a casual conversation with this giant microphone that's in front of me and just talking to myself and hoping people are out there listening. And a lot of times the only way I know you're listening is if I get some phone calls, which I've got one here coming up in just a second. But you're kind of just talking to yourself. It's not a natural thing to sit down and just talk to yourself for 2 hours. It's not. It's a very bizarre thing. And I've done this a long time. I like to think, whether you like what I have to say or not, I like to think that I'm pretty conversational. We keep things moving, and it's pretty free-flowing. And my goal is, you know, we get Nathan to do this a handful more times, kind of the end of the show, and then maybe by the end of the summer he can take over and host from start to finish a whole show, hopefully get some good experience with that. I enjoy having some interns come in. We had Luke Hetrick a number of years ago, Ryan Stevens, now Nathan. I'm still very much in touch with Luke Hetrick. He's one of my best friends. He's down in Atlanta. Don't keep up with Ryan Stevens much, but you know, best of luck here to Nathan because he's doing a really good job. And anybody that shows a lot of interest in this, and if they're interested and passionate about it, then I will share, you know, interest and passion in them and help them kind of develop. All right, 946-0435, you want to join us? Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Jerry from Bellwood.
What's up, Jerry? How you doing, buddy?
Good. You know, when you talk to yourself, at least you're going to win every argument, hopefully.
So. I don't know, man. Sometimes you ever talk to yourself and you talk yourself out of something?
Yeah. Hey, you know, I'm having a good week. You know, first the Celtics, my team won, and then the Orioles beat the Yankees 2 out of 3 again, and only a half game out of first place. And if they were in any other division, they'd be winning the division. I think they beat the Phillies 2 out of 3 too. So anyway, it's been so far so good.
Orioles are 49-25. They're 24 games over 500, and in second place in the division. Andy Kreiser, the GM here, who does the Steelers show with me, he's a big, big Orioles fan. He actually got to throw out a first pitch last year at Camden Yards, and he loved that. I think that's like one of his, you know, lifetime highlights and everything. But the Orioles are good, man. They've really turned that franchise around the last few years.
I'll say, hey, I wanted to get your opinion on this Bronny James situation. You know, the Altoona Mirror, I don't know, I'm sure it was an AP story, showed the Celtics were going to take him at number 25. Now, you know, who knows, or whatever number it was. But as kind of the last pick, it looked like in the first round, but I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to that. But, you know, I was wondering if whatever team drafts James, I wonder if they would do it almost to hold it as a bargaining chip in a trade with the Lakers. Do you think that would possibly happen?
Yes, my initial answer is absolutely yes. If you are, but with this caveat, only if you're one of those handful of teams that would want LeBron. I mean, of the 30 teams in the NBA, how many do you think want LeBron? The Celtics don't. I don't think.
No. I don't mean for a trade for LeBron, but to trade Bronny to the Lakers for something from the Lakers.
Oh yeah. Okay. Now I get what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I guess that went over my head. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I could see a lot of that, absolutely. And that's if LeBron is going to finish up with the Lakers. Because I know, Jerry, there's been talk over the last year or two, LeBron may go wherever Bronny ends up. So,
yeah,
that's kind of where my mind was. I just don't think the Lakers are very good. I mean, this J.J. Redick thing, Anthony Davis is an outstanding player, but he's hurt all the time. Every time they get in the playoffs, I don't know how reliable he is. So, I'm going to say something here that's going to piss off a lot of people. I think Kobe Bryant absolutely, totally screwed the Lakers. Absolutely, totally screwed the Lakers at the end of his career. Now, if you remember, now when Kobe died, we have a different version of everything, and we remember him in this icon status. Colin Coward used to berate Kobe all the time, and other national media people did as well, because he took all this money. He was very, very, very happy to continue to be one of, if not the highest paid players in the NBA, while the Lakers were absolutely horrific. Okay, and if you remember, this went on for a couple years to near the end of Kobe's career. So the Lakers can't do that with LeBron. The Lakers can't just let LeBron control everything that they're going to do for the next 3 to 5 years, because is LeBron's, is he going to even win? Is he going to last that long? And is he going to be a total shell of himself? You see what I'm getting at?
Oh, yeah. Not only that, but another point with Kobe is that he would also have pouting spells during some games, where he wouldn't shoot or, to prove a point, which is something Michael Jordan never would have done, Michael. And I know Kobe was a great player. I know he was very competitive, but he wasn't in the same league with Michael because of the kind of things that you brought up about salary, but also because of some of the things he did during games. And as far as LeBron goes, I think that at this stage of his career, I think the Lakers need to quit kowtowing to him, firing coaches. I know he says he had nothing to do with it, but that's a bunch of crap.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need to say, well, this is the way it's going to be. Because if he moves on at this point, it still is a great, he's a great player, but, his skills are diminishing a little bit. He's still a great player, better than most, for sure, by far. But they're not going to start improving. They need to start looking to build.
I agree. And that's what Dan Hurley could have done. I think Dan Hurley would have been a sensational hire. But so to answer your point, will somebody draft Bronny as a chip? It very well could happen. I think that's a very astute point. But if I'm anybody, I'm careful. I'm careful with the whole LeBron thing. If I'm the Lakers, I'm careful with LeBron. If I'm somebody else, I'm careful with LeBron. I mean, because he's going to come in. I don't know that he's in anywhere close to winning you a championship right now. He'd be a very disruptive piece.
Oh, yeah. The other thing is I heard that the Mavericks, I think it's the GM, that he's like an uncle to Bronny. And so there's been a little bit of speculation that LeBron would sign with the Celtics, or not Celtics, I'm sorry, the Mavs,
yeah.
They would draft,
That wouldn't work. Doncic is amazing, but he needs the ball all the time. Everything they do is him having the ball at all times. So I just can't see LeBron going to a team where somebody else has the ball all the time.
And the last question I have for you, in the NBA, the contract that LeBron would sign, did they have to give him a certain amount, at least a certain amount, or could he say, I'm a billionaire, so I'll play for $5 million a year?
Oh, yeah, that's the point. Tom Brady took, that's what I was talking about with Kobe, Tom Brady took a much smaller salary for a number of years. I believe Tim Duncan took a smaller salary at the end of his career. If Kobe, and I just pulled these up. Here's the Lakers records, and I'm not sure which one of these years Kobe was injured and everything. 13-14, 27-55. Next year, 21-61. 15-16, they were 17-65. 16-17, they were 26-56, all while Kobe's one of the highest paid players in the NBA. And so he held them hostage for all those years. Right. So, yeah, could LeBron take a $10 million salary? I mean, Yes, but you know as well as I do, these guys' egos, that would never happen today.
Well, the reason I asked that is because I thought maybe the union said, no, you can't, you know, you're not allowed to do that. You have to, there has to be this minimum amount
for
a player. So I just was wondering.
That's a good question. I didn't think of that. That you're probably right on that. I would guess that there probably is, you know, just from in the collective bargaining, you probably can't do that because that would really be changing the salary structure for everybody around. You'd be screwing other people who are being compared to you statistically. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Can you imagine saying that you only take $5 or $10 million a year?
Gosh, that's 95% of the people in this country won't make that their entire lives. $5 million their entire lives. Thanks, man. Appreciate the call. Really good stuff. I got to take a real quick break. I've got a tremendous discussion here with Steve Samsel coming up, some business of Penn State football and college sports. We'll get to Steve right after this.
If you thought the fireworks were over after the 4th, you're mistaken. J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars has a red-hot deal on cigars July 5th and 6th during their After the 4th event at both their Chambersburg and Alexandria locations. Stock up on Drew Estate, Arturo Fuente, Oliva, and many more. And when you shop at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, don't forget the swag like ashtrays, lighters, and much more. Don't miss the After the 4th event July 5th and 6th at both locations of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, Alexandria and Chambersburg. J.M. Boswell, come for the deals. Stay for the smoke.
Recently at JMP Auto Mart, an SUV that was in one of the dealership's garages caught fire. Thankfully, no one was injured as the fire occurred during evening hours when they weren't open. The vehicle, however, was a total loss. JMP Auto Mart would like to thank nearby neighbors, the Altoona Police, and fire departments for their quick action during this occurrence, and they want to assure you that they're open for business as usual. Come check out their large selection of cars, trucks, and SUVs. JMP Auto Mart, 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona. They started 65 years ago, and they're still open.
Phoenix Domus Rise Above Halfway House offers residential treatment for adult males affected by drug or alcohol addiction. Their facility is located in the Fairview Hills section of Altoona and is licensed to house 16 adult male residents who are seeking halfway house treatment services. Phoenix Domus is actively looking for referrals. Email referrals at phoenixdomus.com or call 814-515-2055. Rise above the grips of addiction. Let Phoenix Domus Rise Above Halfway House help.
No one knows the importance of a great assist more than Lowe's and Leo Messi. That's why we've teamed up to give My Lowe's Rewards members 10 times the points when Messi makes an assist during CONMEBOL Copa America USA 2024. Activate this offer starting June 20th, so when Messi assists, you score. Shop the day after an assist to earn those extra points. Not a My Lowe's Rewards member? Join for free today.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
All righty, welcome back. Looking forward to this discussion. Get into a lot of really interesting business tidbits with Penn State football and college football in general. Steve Samsel joins us, our media and TV sports guru. What's up, Steve? How you doing today, buddy?
I am hot today, Corey. It feels like summer. Holy cow.
Yeah, oh, goodness. I love it. It is summer. I want to give Steve credit. He mentioned something on the Stuff with Summers Says podcast with Steve and Darian Summers. I heard about the whiteout. Thought it was just a brilliant idea. I've not really heard anybody else say this, Steve, about when Penn State's whiteout should be. Would you mind repeating what you said on the podcast with Darian?
Yeah, there's been all this angst about when you're going to have the whiteout. Like, schedule the whiteout. The whiteout is a marketing tool. It's going to drive attendance. Not going to drive viewership. It's your biggest day of the year. Go ahead and schedule it. Let the networks fight over it if they're going to or whatever else. But don't wait on them. And especially now with this new deal, and maybe we'll get to it. I don't know specifics, but the new deal with Playfly is there's going to be like a week-long effort around whiteout. You're holding hostage a bunch of other events in the town and the community by not picking a date when you're going to do week-long stuff. It's a big deal. It matters here. It's important to the fans here. Go ahead and schedule it. And then whenever it's on TV, it'll be on TV.
My first thought was, does a school have that kind of power to just do something and then the networks can respond? Or because now that you're part of a conference and you got a $1 billion TV deal, would everybody else say, whoa, we're going to be involved with this. We're not just going to let you do that.
Well, but is it different? It's not. The way they framed it through the years is it's, you know, they announced it with Military Appreciation Day and there's Helmet Strike Day and there's whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the visuals, the networks care about the visuals in some senses, but nobody's watching more of Penn State and whoever it is because it's the whiteout from the network standpoint. Yes, they would like to get the visuals and have that imagery as part of their stuff to promote things with, but Penn State, Ohio State is going to draw a bigger number no matter what's happening in the stands around it than Penn State, Illinois. It just is. And Ohio State, Michigan, which is always the first choice of networks, is going to draw more because it's the game that matters. The whiteout matters here. It matters in Happy Valley. It matters to all the Penn Staters. So go ahead and schedule it. Say, this is when we're doing the whiteout. And then when the TV schedule comes out, whichever time it falls, it falls. And I think it'll still be an event no matter what.
Okay. So the springboard to that whole issue is, again, kind of a follow-up to what I mentioned about autonomy. Independence with regards to what major college football programs can do or can't do because they're in a conference. Penn State was an independent for a long, long time. They've been in the Big Ten now for 30-plus years. The Big Ten has rules. How does it work then, do you think, Steve, just in general, not the whiteout, just in general, if Penn State wants to do things, they want to be on their own versus you are now part of this unbelievable collective of the Big Ten. And at some point, the Big Ten is probably going to be part of some unbelievable collective of the Professional College Football League, which is what I like to call it at some point. So how much freedom does a school like Penn State, one of the behemoths, you know, a leader in terms of TV ratings and all that kind of stuff, how much freedom or autonomy do they have as opposed to, hey, they're still going to be told kind of what to do at times?
I think it depends on what that thing is. I mean, in to TV scheduling, the schools don't have that much. They don't have that much control over the start of the game times. They just don't. They hope they do. They may want that they could, but the networks pick the weekends of which they're going to, like Fox. They have a draft and they pick which weekends they're going to pick games from. So I think they have autonomy to say, hey, this is how we're going to do game day operations. This is how we're going to do ticketing.
Yeah, Steve, do they have autonomy on whether or not they want to start the Big Ten schedule at home or on the road?
No, they don't. But please, that's another one, right? Like, that's one of those ones, again, schedule them when they want to play. But, I mean, there was enough noise made about that maybe the conference listened to that, and I think that there's a layer there, right? I think the conference probably can control that. The conference can't control what the networks are going to choose for games. So there probably is a little more autonomy. And if you bang your fist at the meetings and say, oh, gosh, it's so horrible that we had to start the Big Ten Conference on the road, so many seasons on the road. Well, okay, did you get to finish at home? Did you play your bigger games when you wanted to? But I think it depends on what the autonomy thing is. In terms of when games are on TV, they don't have as much. But in terms of other things about when they're marching their band in or what they're doing or what they're going to do with their other sports, I think, you know, whether you're going to play games as Penn State, I guess, announced today or has been leaked out today, that they're going to play in Philadelphia a non-conference game against Drexel. Like, they have the autonomy to figure out what they're doing in some of their non-conference games. So I think there is some, and there are other places where the bigger good, the greater good matters, especially if you're going to collect a check. And I think it's disingenuous for schools, and I don't think Penn State's alone in this, to say, oh, we should have this, whatever. Hey, you're taking the check for the conference. At some point, you don't get to have all of it. You don't get the money and this. Like coaches in the SEC and the Big Ten haven't come up yet. Walk-ons, roster limits. We're going to have roster limits because people are getting paid. Well, we got to have those walk-ons. It's what the college football is all about. Again, this is no longer college football, and you don't get to pay players who are making six figures and the walk-ons both. Like,
Steve,
make a choice.
I got so many great questions here. The next one was going to be about the logos possibly on the field, but I'm going to save that here for a second. I got asked a question yesterday in a mailbag at DK Pittsburgh Sports. Okay, so if college athletes are making so much money, and we saw like with Sean Clifford, you stay in school an extra year and you can make more money, you know, could there be a situation then at some point where there is no eligibility limit on a college, say a college football or basketball player? They're not a pro player. Let's go back to Jerry McNamara. You know, his great basketball players here. He wasn't an NBA player. What if you have a football player,
Cam Rising kid at Utah, right?
Yeah, exactly, right. Where, hey, you want to just stay and play college football at Utah and make a hell of a lot of money in NIL or whatever, could you envision at some point guys getting to stay and play college football for 8 or 10 years if they want?
Boy, it sounds so crazy. It might be possible. I mean, maybe not 10, but I could see sixes becoming more relevant, right? You know, because they get the injury disclaimers and maybe they won't matter as much. I just don't think we know what could.
But I guess legally,
I think that's crazy.
Legally speaking, if you're an, and this is where the whole thing gets fascinating. If you're an employee, don't tell me what job I can and can't have. This is all, everything is going to be litigated at some point. You're going to force me to leave college? You're not forcing, I got a great reference here, Steve. This is an old school one. You're not forcing Van Wilder to leave college, the Ryan Reynolds movie. You're not forcing Tommy Callahan to leave college. A lot of people go to college for 7 years. Yeah, they're called doctors. You're not forcing, I know career students. They want to get their bachelor's degree. They want to stay in for longer to get their master's degree. They're in college for 10, 12 years. Why can't a football player stay in college that long?
No, I think it sounds silly, but I think it's fair. Like, I mean, I think that there could be some careers lengthened at points. Certainly guys who would have gone to the draft. I think 5 and 6 is probably easy.
Uh-huh.
And I think some other things might shake out. You know, why do I have to go, right? Well, I haven't finished my degree. I've decided to take 2 degrees, right? So, yeah, like, it's all kinds of weird and all kinds of semi-pro, maybe more than pro in so many ways, which is, you know, I'm sure interesting and engaging for some people and maybe not as much for other people.
What does Penn State do about the logos on the field? I'm 100% certain there will be logos on the field at Beaver Stadium at some point. Am I correct there?
I think people should be certain of that, because I think it would be negligent on behalf of people's job as it is to raise money
correct.
For a sports program if that were not the case.
Okay, right? But what about the uniforms? The iconic, that was a great word. I love that you used that word. The iconic, basic blue and white. Everybody knows a Penn State uniform because it's just blue or white, or blue and white. Okay, can I make the case that it would be negligent if everybody else, if Ohio State's putting, I don't know, Schottenstein. Yeah, does Penn State have to do it?
Right. If the Big Ten opens it up and says, hey, you can have uniform patches, and you know, they'd have the autonomy to do it, but it would be negligent if they were to not do it in terms of and it wasn't money. There's the slight precedent, right, with the whole Unity patch. It was, 4 or 5 years ago when the racial stuff was going on. They threw that on the uniforms for a year, and they were, this is something that means something to us. And
Bill O'Brien put the names. Bill O'Brien put their names on in, 2012?
Yep. I think, again, fair, because it would be irresponsible and negligent on the part of the people whose job it is to raise money. And then they could come back to the fans and say, look, Joe and Jane Lunchbucket, we're not going to ask you for more money because we're doing this. Now, they'd be smart to do that, you know, because they can at least make their pitch a little bit and make people think, okay, they're not going to make me reach into my pocket for more. And that's certainly how I would spin the message if it were me. But, yeah, I think it would just be so interesting to see who ends up on the field. But yeah, there's going to be somebody ending up on the field. And I mean, Texas State, this was a month or so ago, Texas State University got $23 million over 15 years for its naming rights to a stadium. It's Texas State. It's $23 million for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is Penn State 100% more name recognition than Texas State?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much is the Beaver Stadium naming rights worth? Or going to Darian Summers with his east and west sides of the stadium. Heck, you could do, you know, the east side is the Wawa side, and the west side is the Sheet side. You could find some ways. They're going to have a new all the surroundings with gates and things. If stuff isn't named all the way around that place, which, you know, is unbecoming to some of us, but it would be irresponsible if it weren't.
Because that's, you've got to make the money in order to keep up with the Joneses. Let's have some fun. Who's in play here from a sponsor standpoint? Sheets announced today, the Pirates announced today, that Pirates uniforms are going to have a Sheets patch on them. Okay, so
oh, wow.
Sheets is in play for the Pirates. Who's in play? You mentioned Wawa and Sheets. That's a great idea if that's Darian's idea, the Wawa side and the Sheets side. Who is in play for the logos? Sheets kind of gets mentioned, but that's a Central PA thing and an East Coast thing. Are we talking with Penn State's size and scope, AT&T, FedEx, Apple, Microsoft, the Progressive Insurance, State Farm, the big player? Who is in play? The big players or Ollie's? That kind of thing.
I think it's the big ones. Although Ollie's a pretty big player.
Yeah,
I think it's the big players, and there's a couple there that I hadn't thought about exactly. But as you say it, and this is the disconnect between higher ed, and athletics, higher ed, right? Like Apple and IBM or some other place, you know, can you work a deal with Microsoft in terms of software for your campus as part of the deal, right? Instead of them paying a licensing fee.
Oh, they don't want that. James wants that money. To hell with the computers on campus. James wants that money, Steve.
Exactly. I mean, I don't want to throw the coach under the bus. But yes, like there's a place for that kind of relationship, you would think, too. But yeah, they're not going to show them. But yes, I think all those. There was a couple ADs ago, Sandy Barber's second in charge guy, who's now at Minnesota, was talking about Penn State being a blue blood, and they were trying to redesign the magazine they were giving to students. And it's going to be, you know, we're going to have like 3 or 4 ads, and it's going to be like major companies. It's going to be General Motors. It's going to be Ford. It's going to be, you know, Boulevard kind of thing. And that's the level we're aspiring for. I think of Texas that way. I think of Texas. And again, Penn State pays the bills. I love it. Got my degrees there. The family's there. I think Texas frames this stuff as more glittery, elite, illustrious, even Bama does. Penn State might be like a shade down from that, but 750,000 alumni, one of the top, you know, drawing programs on TV, 31 sports. Yeah, it's all the A-list brands that are there. And again, if it's not there, irresponsible. And it's going to be kind of fun to see who does show up there, right? And if, you know, what interest they have, you know, there can only be maybe 2 or 3 groups on the field, depending on where they're at and how they split it up. Where else do they get people engaged and say, oh, were you interested in this, but would you do this instead if you couldn't afford that? So I think it's exciting from that standpoint to see what happens and how it plays out.
Let me ask you completely off topic because my brain is working this way now, and this is more fun than some of this other stuff. All right. Sheets or Wawa in this state? What do we have? 12? We have 12 million people in Pennsylvania, Steve. Is that give or take about right? I'll look it up.
You're asking. I'll go with you and pretend you look somewhere close to paying attention. I should know, but I don't.
All right. Sure, so what if we had a vote? It's 12.9 cents. So 13 million. If we had a vote in this state, like a real election, Sheets or Wawa, who wins that vote and why?
If it's a real election and why? It's Wawa because Wawa is Philadelphia.
That's what I was thinking. Pittsburgh, yep.
Yep, yep. It's because Sheets is more Pennsylvania, rural Western Pennsylvania. Maybe not as many people, so Wawa would win in terms of a straight-up vote.
Okay, very good. We're thinking along the same lines. Okay.
With Rutters is a wonderful third-party candidate.
That's fine. Hey, we got Rutters here in Altoona a few years ago, and it's terrific, too. I like all three. We don't have any Wawas here, but where we vacation in Orlando, I'm always fascinated. There's a Wawa like a mile down the road from our resort. It's like amazing. Here we are 1,500 miles away. All right, so back to some business stuff. Penn State has 31 varsity sports. We're going to get out on this. We could spend 2 hours on this. You take as long as you want. Penn State has 31 varsity sports. Alabama has 21. I believe Ohio State has 36. Now, that's way up there because most of the other ones have way less. So, here's the scenario I'm going to give you. You've got $21 million to spend on your athletes. Everybody's got this, you know, whatever figure, 20, say 20, 21, 22 million. You got, let's just say you got $21 million to spend on all your athletes. Well, Penn State's got more athletes than the vast majority of pro universities in this country. How much does football get? How much does anybody else get, if at all? Does women's basketball, which loses $3 to $4 million a year, do they get any of that $21 million? Should they? You see what I'm getting at? Because I can see the real football factories that put their money where their mouth is and where it just means more. Hell, I can see Alabama giving damn near all every penny of the $21 million to football. And they've got a phenomenal basketball program and baseball. So what do they do with it?
I think even when you have 21, right, even if that's the lower number we're working with, you still pick four or five that are your showcase ones, right? Alabama's softball team is good. Their baseball team is good. Football is obviously the main thing. So I think football's getting three quarters of that money at least, right? And because they're going to generate it for the other sports, and the other sports – it'll be just so interesting. Soccer at Penn State now has a new facility being built for the teams there at Jeffrey Field, right? And those teams have won and been successful without that facility before.
And have lost and have lost money basically every single year. And that's what I'm getting down to is that the business of college sports is not like the business of America, although in corporate America, a lot of corporations lose money. But if football wants to get from number 9, 10, 11, this is a separate discussion. Where is Penn State football in terms of where it ranks in the country as an overall football program? It's like 9, 10, 11, somewhere around there. If they want to get to 5, what are the steps that you got to take? And, I mean, Penn State's got to spend more money if they want to kind of catch up, you would think. But would they? I don't think they would. I think we're on the same page. They're going to give money to a lot of different places, but if they do, doesn't that prevent football from climbing the ladder a little bit?
Yeah, maybe a little, right? And I think that's the whole 31 sports, we're all together, you know. And I don't know that it's bad, but then at the same time, because I think the same fans that want Penn State to be really good at football are also maybe the same fans that want them to be good at the other sports, right? And you can't – sometimes those are mutually exclusive goals in some ways. And you can't support them both financially maybe as a fan or – maybe there's going to be sports where you're going to like, hey, this is covered, but fans, you need to step up and support wrestling more or women's basketball more if you really want it to matter. You got to show up to games to show us it matters, right? I mean, for women's basketball as an example, you got to show up and show us that you're interested in it, and then we'll invest. I think there's all kinds of machinations that are going to happen from this, and I think there's going to be legal challenges, like you mentioned before, with longevity. And as soon as somebody's getting something else, or maybe it's an autonomy thing, if a conference says, hey, we're going to do this sport, you all expected to be at this level with this sport, and you know a couple vocal coaches or associate athletic directors can change an investment in a program, or an alumni base can change an investment in a program. So whatever model that they first start with may not be the model that exists when we're doling out $20-some million 5 or 6 years from now either.
I want to just pick your brain on one more thing. There's a hope and maybe a thought that women's college basketball will continue in the post-Caitlin Clark era of being significantly more relevant. I do not believe that is going to be the case. I do not really believe that women's basketball in general became significantly more relevant. I believe Caitlin Clark has become incredibly relevant. Will women's college basketball continue to grow at a really noticeable pace, or does that slow or stop or reverse now that Caitlin Clark is gone?
I don't know if it reverses. I think – I don't want to say we're plateaued because there's some great young stars. I think Caitlin Clark and the interest around them opened the door to, you know, ABC for the national championship game as opposed to ESPN. And people say, oh, look, see, the numbers are so much better. You should have given us respect before. You should have done whatever. I think the TV ratings are the ease and attendance are the ways you measure this stuff. And everybody that controls the money, that's how they measure it. That's their data. I think there are programs that are going to get better and rise. I think Penn State is an example of struggling, right? We're going to turn over 9 players this year in that team. They're still not drawn as they were years ago. So I think as a sport, I don't know if it's at its high watermark, but the stars that are behind there are still going to be kind. You know, Juju Watkins and those kind of kids that are still out there that are there to keep playing are going to be interesting. But Caitlin Clark was just at a different level of interest, and the media treated her in a different way, as everybody knows, and all the different reasons for that. So, yeah, I don't think it's getting bigger, but I don't think it's going back immediately. But I do think the numbers on attendance and TV viewership will shape where it goes 4 or 5 years from now after that.
Hey, always enjoy the discussion, man. Really good stuff, pal. Thanks so much, Steve.
Hey, Corey, have a good weekend.
All right, excellent stuff there from Steve Samsel. We'll step away for a quick break. You want to give us a phone call, 946-0435. Anything we just discussed or anything else on your mind?
Let's see here. No wins, no top fives, no top tens, no poles, and only 9 laps led. That is the current record of driver William Byron at New Hampshire, which is where we're headed this weekend. Of course, he would like to change those stats.
Yeah, I don't really know. I think just trying to figure out what the balance is that we need to go fast there. Had a lot of success there leading up to the Cup Series. And then even my first, 2 years in the Cup Series, relative to where I was running, you know, other tracks, I thought I ran pretty well there. But it just seems like with our current team, we just haven't really been very good there. And we just have to figure out what that is. And hopefully go through a lot of notes this week and kind of have something, you know, comparable to go run there. Last year we had some damage on the car. I believe we had the right front splitter was caved in based on a pit road issue, and up until then we had led some laps, and then we had an issue in practice with the steering rack was locked up. So just not a clean weekend last year. So I think that's, you know, a track that we probably last year could have run top 7 at, but this year going back, obviously big focus to try to get better. And, you know, based on where Phoenix and Gateway were to start this year, definitely some work to do. So I feel like we're going to learn some things this week and hopefully have something close.
This is the final lap.
With Progressive, you get more than savings. You get access to us through our mobile app, online chat, or by phone.
Oh, I see what you're doing here, Jamie. Giving me all these ways to stay in touch so I have no excuse not to. Well, you're in luck, because this guy's in the market for a new BFF.
Actually, all our customers can contact us this way.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just kidding.
But I am always up for Taco Pizza!
Jinx!
Get help from Progressive through the website, app, chat, or phone. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
If you're a customer of Davidson Snacks Outlet, stand by for an important announcement. Davidson Snacks Outlet has moved to a new location. The folks at Davidson Snacks Outlet feel blessed to watch their business become a success, and they want to thank their employees and you. Davidson Snacks Outlet's new location is 16843 Dunnings Highway in Duncansville. It's the same great variety of your favorite snacks and great service now at a new location. 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville. Davidson Snacks Outlet.
If you thought the fireworks were over after the 4th, you're mistaken. J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars has a red-hot deal on cigars July 5th and 6th during their After the 4th event at both their Chambersburg and Alexandria locations. Stock up on Drew Estate, Arturo Fuente, Oliva, and many more. And when you shop at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, don't forget the swag like ashtrays, lighters, and much more. Don't miss the After the 4th event July 5th and 6th at both locations of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, Alexandria and Chambersburg. J.M. Boswell, come for the deals. Stay for the smoke.
Hey,
all right, we want to thank J.M. Boswell's for being our presenting sponsor each and every day. Just heard Dave Shannon talking about their 4th of July deals and everything. Appreciate them for all their support of our program. We got Clark, sir. Appreciate you for all of your support of the program, man. What's going on?
Of course, I am third.
That's right.
What a waste of money all this is going to be. I mean, hearing all this crap. Has sports gotten to the point that it's really a drug and people can't get off of it?
That's a good point.
This weekend, the Phillies have tonight's game on Apple TV, and then Sunday's game is on Roku. And you got people bellyaching about it that they can't watch it, okay? Or they have to go through the dance of signing up, you know, and doing all that other crap. But this is going to be annual events with Penn State football or any college football team. They're going to be coming to you. Why don't they just pass a hat like they did at Little League games when I was growing up, you know, for something? Because it's going to be annual. It's not going to be one time.
It's not a one-time thing. The
and
NIL stuff they need.
They're ashamed of themselves. Colleges have turned themselves into.
You asked an interesting psychological question about, what'd you say, is sports a drug?
Yes.
Well, it's interesting. I definitely will say sports are addictive. And I'm fascinated to really, like, Google some search words, you know, sports, fandom, psychological. Because I would imagine a lot of the things that are going on in the brain that you get from whatever substances or whatever thing's going on, you probably get similar sensations from your sports team. So it is fascinating to think of sports in that addictive type of way. I'd wonder what people smoking cigarettes versus people rooting on their sports team, like what's going on in the brain.
But you can acquire that. That's the other interesting thing about this. You can watch it on TV, but somehow there's this collective need to go out with people you don't even know.
Well, yeah, we are a social race. I heard this somewhere the other day. I don't remember who some sociologist or psychologist or something said the human race is a social race. We desire to be around other people. There are obviously loners and everything, but still.
Yeah, but back in the day, you look at some of these sporting events that people are at. Look at the way they were dressed.
And oh, yeah. Suits, ties, hats.
Yeah, and then hear about the decorum that exists now at some of these stadiums.
That's funny. You go back and look at, like, baseball game attendance in the 50s. Everybody's sitting there in a suit and a hat.
Yes. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I went out to games in the late 50s, early 60s and everything. I didn't go out in a suit or anything. But, you know, it was casual dress and different things. Being a kid versus what you see in the stands then are adults, basically, not a lot of kids. The other thing is I saw something online about the cost of concessions. And they had this wide range of buying, I don't know how many ounces of beer you get. I don't drink it. But it ranged from, like, the cheapest place was like $4.50.
Oh, yeah, and the Steelers.
And the most expensive was $17.
The Steelers, I think, were in the nine. They were like a few cents below the NFL average. I saw that same graphic. Who was up at there at 16? Was it the Eagles?
Well, they were near the top.
Yeah, they were near the top. The Steelers were in the $9.70 range. But yeah, someplace it's like $14, $16 for a beer, for God's sake.
People are nuts.
People are nuts. Let's just end it there. People are nuts. Thanks, man. Appreciate the call. Dan, do you agree with what Clarkster said? Are people nuts?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, case closed.
there's no question about it. But I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back to Wednesday's show, and then I'm going to go back in the archives.
Okay, we got about 4 minutes.
Okay, but Wednesday's show, you extended an invitation to Clarkster to come up. Altoona.
Yeah, for like a get-together for our top callers. Dan, you'd be invited.
Well, I appreciate that, because I would pay Clarkster's mileage.
Okay. Yeah. I hope Clarkster's still listening. We could kick in a fund to help get him here. I don't think he's not going to be worried about getting here, but I think
but I would. Or fact, any of your callers, any of your callers.
I've had a number of people request this over the years of, like, getting all the top callers together for some function or something. I'm closer to maybe doing that. We'll get, like, 10 of you together. Dan, you're invited. Oh, I know Jerry and Dennis, Clarkster, Rob. A lot of our regular callers will be invited here. Steve from Duncansville. Hopefully, he will come to the party. We'll see what we can do here in a couple months.
Now, let's go back in the archives. Now, it was when Omel Cruz first come to the curve.
Mm-hmm.
You had a fantastic caller, Corey. Fantastic, and you spent two or three days on this . And he called at least twice. Now, you remember that caller about him being so tall and being left-handed? See, and the way you explained it and everything. And then his feed to you was out of this world. The questions and how you answered his questions. Do you remember that?
The physical skills. I do have a vague recollection. The physical skills that O'Neal Cruz has, they are phenomenal. A big part of that discussion would have been, should he be playing shortstop every day at 6'7"? I still believe he should not. He is. O'Neal Cruz is the tallest everyday shortstop in the history of Major League Baseball, believe it or not. I believe that puts a lot of pressure on the young man over time. That will not be good for him. I believe he should be a right fielder, because the more you have to work on everything at shortstop, then that takes a lot of your time. But a lot of these things are intertwined. I do vaguely recall what you're talking about from a couple years ago.
Yeah, and Corey, he's kind of proven you're wrong, because
he has not. Let's get him at 28 years old, okay?
He
already missed last season. I've been proven right. He missed all of last season. He's going to get hurt. His body is going to wear down. If you play him in right field, you might get 158 games out of him. If you play him at shortstop, you got to get 144 games out of him. You got to give him days off. If he gets hurt, now you're down to 128. You see what I'm getting at? When you're a 6'7" shortstop and you're playing the toughest position on the field other than catcher, over time, that is going to eat away at his offensive ability.
But boy, don't you think he's doing a decent job today?
Up and down, he was good to start. Then he was horrific for a month, and this is exactly what I'm talking about. Let me get the month to month stats. Mention this Monday or next week, because I got to take a break here. Let me get the month to month stats for O'Neal Cruz, and I'll paint you a picture of an extremely inconsistent player.
Okay, thank you, Corey.
Very good, Dan. At his highest, he's immensely talented.
If you thought the fireworks were over after the 4th, you're mistaken. J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars has a red-hot deal on cigars July 5th and 6th during their After the 4th event at both their Chambersburg and Alexandria locations. Stock up on Drew Estate, Arturo Fuente, Oliva, and many more. And when you shop at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, don't forget the swag like ashtrays, lighters, and much more. Don't miss the After the 4th event July 5th and 6th at both locations of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, Alexandria and Chambersburg. J.M. Boswell, come for the deals. Stay for the smoke.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288 or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Your feet will thank you.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
All right, just to close up to answer Dan's question, O'Neill Cruz batting .246. He's got 9 home runs. His OPS is .719. Those numbers are not good enough. 9 home runs, he's projected to hit 20. That's a nice total, but the guy's got like the hardest hit balls in all of baseball this year. Like most of the hardest hit balls in the whole sport have been by O'Neill Cruz. They've been like singles and doubles. Not home runs. He's on pace for 20 home runs. That's good, not great. 719 OPS. That's okay. It's not really, really good even. So could he be better if he weren't having the demands of shortstop every day? I believe yes. Anyway, that's going to wrap things up for us today. Thank everybody for tuning in. Fantastic discussion. And we're going to have some more baseball talk coming up next week. Hopefully everybody enjoys the weekend. Hopefully we can get a little bit cooler weather, too. We'll talk to you on Monday, folks.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM, WKMC Roaring Spring, Altoona.